I'm speaking to you in these days on the thought of drawing near. Let us draw near. And again, from Hebrews 10:19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's commit this time to prayer again. Lord, I want to thank You for the good word that we've already heard tonight. Lord, help us, Father, that somehow we would continue to think on Your infinite worth, Your incomparable glory. I pray, Father, that we might see again tonight from the Word of God the glory of Christ. I pray, Lord, that You would help Your people. Especially, Lord, I pray that You would be that You give light and grace and glory, Lord, to this church. Help them, Father, to enter into that which You have opened up to them. Help us, Lord, that tonight, Lord, we might see just how it is that we are welcome to enter into the holiest of holies. Father, tonight I need You. I am very weak. Lord, I'm nothing without You. And I need You. I pray for Your help. I pray, Lord, that You would give me the grace that I need, Lord, to be able to give Your word to Your people. Magnify Jesus tonight. Lord, Your Son prayed, glorify Thy Son, that the Son might glorify Thee. And Lord, I pray the same thing tonight. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son might glorify Thee. And we ask it in His name. Amen. Well, this afternoon, I introduced a thought and preached a lot of things I didn't know I was going to preach. Not making any apology for that. It's just I didn't realize I was going to head that direction. But what I wanted us to get this afternoon was that we have this wonderful exhortation to draw near to God. And I was wanting to get across to you the truth that we are a kingdom of priests and that we serve under the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can enter into the place where Jesus is. And we can worship there and minister to God. And then that led to one thing, which led to another thing. Before I knew it, I was preaching about you being a house of worship. And also the spiritual priesthood. And how that God has ordained that you offer up spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was what we were trying to do this afternoon. Now, what I want us to do tonight is try to stay with the text. Try to do tonight. God help me. Give me grace. Hebrews 10 is a text that is very, it's been central to my life for the last several years. I know some of you are wondering if I know any other book other than Hebrews, because last year when I came, I spoke from Hebrews. But what I'd like to do tonight is get us to start thinking about how it is that this text tells us we can draw near. Okay? Now, to get the understanding of this text, we need to put it in its larger context. So what I'd like for you to do for just a moment is turn back a couple of pages in your Bible to Hebrews 9. And let's let the writer of Hebrews help move us in to this understanding of drawing near unto God. Hebrews 9. And what the writer does here is he gives us, first of all, just a basic description of the tabernacle. Look at it. Hebrews 9, 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. The first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. So what he's describing there is he's describing that first compartment that I talked about this afternoon. Then he says this, and after the second veil, he said the second veil, I thought you preached about one veil. Well, understand it this way. The second veil is the veil that separated the first sanctuary from the Holy of Holies. There was another veil that they went through, a curtain that they passed through just to get in that first compartment. Okay? But the second veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, that was the one that we read about in the book of Matthew that was rent from the top to the bottom. So after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. That's what we talked about this morning. There was constant activity in that first part. Always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, into that second part, with the high priest alone, once every year. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost signifying this, he was signifying, teaching something. Holy Ghost was teaching them something through all this. And here's what he was teaching. That the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, which could not make him that did the service perfect as pertained to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and fleshly ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. And that's what they had. It was figure. It was type. And God was speaking. The Scripture says He was. The Holy Spirit was signifying things. He was teaching them things. What was He teaching? Well, according to verse number 8, He was teaching that the way into the holiest had not yet been made manifest. Now, one person's way into the holiest was available. And that was the high priest of Israel. He had a way in, but he was the only one. No one else had a way into the holiest, which I think you know that's where we're going. That we have a way into the holiest. Okay? Now, watch this. Verse 11. But Christ. Amen. But Christ. Being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, and neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now see if you follow this. And again, let's work with the grammar just a minute. He's been saying that they had this Old Testament tabernacle and all this service that belonged to it. And then in verse 11 he says, but Christ. And again, if you go searching for the verb, you've got to go all the way down to verse number 12 to find it. All the way down to verse number 12. And the verb is entered. Okay? So in that old tabernacle, you had that priest that entered once, not without blood, that he had offered for the errors of the people and for his own sins. But Christ entered. But Christ entered. Entered into what? The holiest. But the holiest that belongs to a greater temple. A greater tabernacle. In fact, it is a holy of holies that does not exist as part of a man-made building, he says. And listen, when he went in, he didn't go in with the blood of goats and of calves, but rather, he went in by his own blood. And he did this once. He entered once into the holy place, and he did it being successful. For it says he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Beloved, he did not go in to obtain it. The scripture's clear. He didn't go in order to try to obtain it, but he went in successfully, having obtained for us eternal redemption. Something the old time high priest, the Old Testament high priest, could never have said. He could never have said, I'm entering into the Holy of Holies now, having obtained eternal redemption for the people. Never could say that. But Christ has done it. He's entered in once, having obtained for us that which is eternal. Eternal salvation. Brethren, I've been reading James Denny's work on the death of Christ. And I was reading what his comments on Hebrews yesterday in the airport. What else was I to do? I had a lot of time. All right, so there I had my laptop out. And I was reading his comments. And one of the things that he dealt with was this idea of eternal in the book of Hebrews. Now, I didn't have time to chase it all down. But he brought up the fact that in the book of Hebrews, when you see this word eternal, it is dealing with finality. It's dealing with ultimate. It's dealing with the idea of an accomplished work, something that's accomplished and never will need to be repeated again. Well, think of this. Think of this now. He entered into the holy place, into the very presence of God, we're told in other places in the book of Hebrews, having obtained final redemption. Final redemption. No, I don't guess we did. Final. I'm not trying to... How do I say this? Let's try it this way. The idea of final redemption to an Old Testament Jew was a foreign concept. Brother Charles, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, we find out that all those offerings did, instead of taking away sin,
the conscience, all it was a constant reminder of their sinfulness. Brother, they knew as soon as they offered that one sacrifice, they had to start thinking about the next one. Just like the preacher told us this morning. They had to start thinking about the next one and the one after that, and they never could see an end in sight. Beloved, listen. The end has come. And I'm not being prophetic. The end has come. It's come in Christ. You need not offer one more thing. All that needs to be offered is offered in Jesus. He's gone in having obtained eternal redemption, final redemption for us. Boy, He has gone into the throne room of heaven, having accomplished what His Father sent Him to do. He obtained it. Well, look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. And what that simply means is this, that those things brought about a ceremonial cleansing. Okay? That's all. What He wants you to understand is that the work of Christ goes deeper than the surface. Listen to this. How much more? Beloved, we're not talking about the blood of bulls and goats, which at best provided ritual, symbolic, ceremonial cleansing. We're not talking about that. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve? To serve the living God. You've been purged to serve. What did I preach to you this afternoon? That your primary calling is a calling to minister to God. You've been called to serve Him. But remember, beloved, remember, the whole context is the context of worship. Yeah. See, a lot of folks, when they think, well, now I've got to serve God, you know, they start thinking, well, this is the list. This is what it means to serve God. It's checking off the list. No. Listen, beloved. The context is priesthood. And the context teaches us that you and I are purged by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can minister to Him. So we can minister to God. In fact, well, there's so much here. Look at this. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God? He offered Himself to God. Do you see that? Brother Leiter, man, he's right about this modern day gospel. Boy, with a lot of them, it's all about God offering Him, Jesus offering Himself to you. Poor Jesus. Offering Himself to you. Please, won't you take Him? After all, that's what the cross was all about, is Jesus offering Himself to you. No. It was Jesus offering Himself to God as the substitute of His people. Listen. The cross is first and foremost Godward. It first and foremost deals with the fact that Jesus Christ has satisfied the just wrath of a holy God. But I want you to know this. It is satisfied. That justice is satisfied. And now the way is open for us to follow Him in and serve the Lord God. It's a good one, isn't it? What a calling. Oh boy, here we go again. I got verses running through my head. I just thought about that text in Ephesians where Paul said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you might know the hope of His calling. I think if it ever dawned on us what it is we are, who it is we are, and what it is we have in Christ, and what a glorious calling it is that we have received. Brothers and sisters, if it ever just broke open on us, I don't know if we could stand ourselves. I think we'd have something experienced very similar to what Brother Leiter read to us a little while ago about just being lost in the presence of God, the glory of God. Do you even see the hope of your calling? Do you see the greatness and the glory of what God has called you to? Well, He's told us then that this is the way it was, and this is what Christ has done. When you move into chapter 10, He tells us more. Much the same thing that, look, in that old economy, they had all these sacrifices, but it never made the worshipers perfect. Never. Oh, look at verse 1. For the law having a shadow, chapter 10, 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Never could do it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if it made them perfect, if it completed them, and if it satisfied all that was required, wouldn't they have stopped offering them? Wouldn't they? He says, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So what happens? Christ comes. That's what verse 5 and following is all about. That's about the incarnation. When He comes, when Christ comes into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written to me to do thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which will, that will of God that He was sent to do, listen, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, what? Once for all. And then what does He do? He says, well, there are priests right now that are standing. Look at verse 11. Now you understand, I'm putting myself in the historical context. He says, there are priests right now standing daily. Standing. Thank you. I will be sure and make that contrast. They wanted to make sure I didn't miss it. For every priest standeth daily ministering. In fact, you know what? You can almost read this monotonously to get the idea. For every priest standeth daily ministering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Get it? it just wouldn't work. But they kept going, kept on doing, kept on working. But this man, after he had offered one, say it with me, one sacrifice for sins, for how long? Forever. All right, what'd he do? He sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. And of course, you know the answer to the question, but why did he sit down? It's finished. It's done. Beloved, do you understand this? That he's gone into the holies and he hasn't left yet. He's still there. He's still there. He sat down the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, one offering, not that multiple stuff, but by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Well, this is just good reading, isn't it? Now, listen to this. Whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. Oh, he's going to go quote some Old Testament now. Ready? For after that he said before, this is the covenant. Oh, that's that new covenant stuff. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws where? In their hearts. And in their minds will I write them. Oh, beloved, listen to this. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In that old covenant, all of those sacrifices just served as a reminder of sin, a remembrance of sin. But in the one sacrifice of Jesus, God says, now I remember your sins no more. In my grace, I choose not to hold them against you anymore. I forget them. You're pardoned. In my Son, you now have the full and final pardon of sin. Beloved, I forget what psalm it is. Maybe one of you preachers can help me. But there's a psalm that says, oh Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who should stand? You remember that verse? Oh Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? You understand the gravity of that? Can you imagine what it would be like, beloved, if every time you sinned, man, who can stand? But then he says, what? He says, but there is forgiveness with thee. There is forgiveness with thee. Beloved, listen, in the new covenant, God has pardoned all your iniquity. He's pardoned all your sin. Now get this. He says this next. He says, verse 18, now, where remission, the word is forgiveness, where forgiveness of these is. What's the these? Your sins and your iniquities. You ready? Now, where remission of these is, listen up, there is no more offering for sin. Why? No longer needed. Because it's done. Now, he says in our text, having therefore. So if y'all want to know what we just did the therefore. That was the therefore. Since all that's true, since Christ is the fulfillment of that Old Testament tabernacle, since Christ has entered into a greater Holy of Holies and has gone and has taken eternal redemption with Him, He's obtained it. Since He has put an end to that Levitical sacrificial system, since He has brought about of salvation through His offering that brings about an eternal redemption that purges our conscience that makes us right, that forgives us. Since all that's true, let us draw near. Let us draw near. What stops you? My sin stops me. Not according to this text. And I believe you understand, beloved, that by no means am I preaching that we can cuddle sin, embrace sin, and approach God. That would be contrary to what God's Word teaches us about the fact that in the New Covenant, He writes the law of God on our hearts. Amen? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. You listen to me. As New Covenant people that have been born again and have had a work of God whereby He has written His law in your hearts and He's expunged the... That's a big word, isn't it? He's cleared. He's taken away the IOU. He's cleared your debt. As that kind of people, the exhortation is you to draw near. Now get in there. Let us do what no Israelite would dare do in the Old Testament. Let us do it. I do believe that's why Hebrews says He's the mediator of a better covenant. Woo! Let us do it. Oh, let us draw near. Well, there's so much to preach here. Where do I start? Let's try this for a minute. Let us draw near with a courageous spirit. Let's try that first. Let us draw near with a courageous spirit. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Boldness. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And then you pick up your main subject and verb in verse 22. Let us draw near. So let's just let that one suffice for right now. Did you get it? Let's try it again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near. That's one of the things you need to understand. You draw near with a courageous spirit. Again, I remind you that no Israelite except for the high priest could draw near in this fashion. None other could. But now we are exhorted to enter into the holiest. We are exhorted to enter into a heavenly holy of holies. We're not exhorted to approach God through a type. But we are exhorted to approach God, to enter into the real presence of God, to stand before God with Christ. Did you get that? You're exhorted to stand in the presence of God with Christ Jesus. What did that veil do? That veil, before it was rent, set parameters. It set boundaries. It said, you dare not enter. You dare not come in. But now, according to verse 19, we've got something else. Look at that. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Freedom. Liberty. In fact, it's a liberty that that produces a boldness in us. It is a liberty that... It's a liberty that cries out in our hearts and says, helps us to say, that's where I belong. Now you understand, I'm not saying that's where I belong because I am worthy. But that's where I belong because that's what God has called me to do. It's where God's called me to be. Okay, how about this one? I'm fishing. I'm trying to find the right way to make it click with you. How about this one? It says in Ephesians that you who were far off have been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. You've been brought nigh. You were far off. But now, you've been brought nigh. Beloved, this whole text is... It's that the writer is saying, would you look at this privilege? You have been brought from a place where you were distant from God. You've been brought right up to the entrance of the Holy of Holies. And you are welcome to enter in. You're welcome to go in and fellowship with the living God. And He's not going to strike you down when you come in. In fact, if I might be so bold to put it this way, you're not even standing there as an Esther waiting for Him to extend a scepter. You're not even waiting on that. Oh, beloved. He invites you. He exhorts you to take your place. To come boldly into His presence. And you notice now, you notice that there is a proper means for doing this. Look at it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. That's how you do it. I'm not preaching that you enter in under your own righteousness. I'm not saying fly your own flag, wave your own banner. No. I'm saying that He calls you to come into His presence through the blood of His Son. The same blood by which He entered into the Holy of Holies now becomes your means of entrance into the Holy of Holies. You see that? There's a little something going on in this verse that I find intriguing. I was showing it to my wife last night during our flight, I had my Greek New Testament open. I said, see, look at that. She said, you have to translate that, boy. I said, okay, look at this. In the Greek text, it literally says this. Having, therefore, a boldness into the entrance of the holiest. A boldness into the entrance of the holiest. And here's what's interesting, beloved. You listen to this. That word entrance is the word Eisadon. Don't that bless you? Eisadon. Amen. It's a compound word. I'm going somewhere with this. It's a compound word. I really am. Watch. Don't miss this. The word odos is the word for a way. And ice is a preposition that means into, a way into. And it dawned on me I was reading that it is the opposite of the word Exodus. Now listen. Does anybody remember that when Jesus was transfigured, two people met Him on that mountain? Moses and Elijah. And do you know what the book of Luke says they discussed? The Exodus. That's right. Now, the King James translates it, His decease. But the word is exodon or exodus. They discussed, now listen to this, they discussed the exodus that He should accomplish in Jerusalem. In other words, they were there having a Bible conference. And the theme of the conference was the exodus He was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And He accomplished an exodus by His death. And I'm looking at this last night going, oh my soul, look at this. He accomplished a way out through His death. And He accomplished a way in through His death. He has accomplished a way out of our captivity through His death. And a way into His very presence through His death. I don't get out of sin but through His death. I don't get out of guilt but through His death. I don't get out of bondage but through His death. And I don't get into the presence of God but through His death. I don't get into the place of worship but through His death. Everything is through the atoning work of Christ. Whether it's my coming out or my going in. It's all through Him. It's all through His death. And beloved, listen. You have a boldness. You have a liberty. All right, let's try this. Let's say tonight I drove to Hartsel, Alabama. And I go to Douglas Street and I pull in the driveway. Now, y'all know I live in Santa Fe, Texas, so what's this guy doing in Hartsel, Alabama? I pull in the driveway and I walk through a door. I open the door. I don't knock. I just walk right in. I walk into the kitchen. I open the refrigerator. And I found out what my mom's been cooking. And I help myself to it. I dare not try that in any other house in Hartsel. So why do it there? Because it's my mother's house. I'm welcome there. Because as a son, I have boldness. I have liberty to go in and enjoy those things that belong to my mother. Do you understand? Beloved, I am not exhorting you to usurp some sort of right you've not been given. That's not what the writer is doing. But the writer is exhorting us to practice and enjoy a privilege and a right we've been given. We belong there. Maybe one day some of you will begin to believe that. We belong there. We belong there. Why, friend, if you're in Christ, you've already been quickened with Him and raised with Him and seated in heavenly places with Him. Has it dawned on you where He's seated? Hello? Anybody want to help me? Where is He seated? Where are you seated? See, you mumbled that one. And I know why you did. Because you're thinking, wait a minute now, he's at God's right hand. But He's there because He's Savior, Brother Mike. He's there because He's High Priest. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But beloved, you need to understand this. I am in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ. And I'm not, listen, I'm not saying that I'm deity. I'm not saying that in myself I'm worth being at the right hand of God. But in Christ, I'm there. I'm there. I'm in God's presence. In Christ. But He wants me to understand it by faith. I enjoy the fruits of that now. Some of you are thinking, boy, I'm really going to enjoy the presence of God when I get to heaven. Well, I am too. But the hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets or whatever it says. Man. Oh, beloved. What a privilege. Can it really be that I am accepted in the Beloved? Can it really be? Can it really be that I am highly favored in Christ? Can it really be? Can it really be that there is now no condemnation to me? Can it really be? Can it really be that the way is opened into the very presence of God through the blood of Christ and He bids me come in and worship in His presence? Can it really be? It really is. It really is. We sang it today. Bold I approach the eternal throne. Now, if you ain't going to believe it, quit singing. What does that mean? Okay. Bold I approach. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim. And claim the crown. Boy, y'all been singing some pretty heavy stuff, haven't you? And claim the crown through Christ, my own. Wow. Woo! We are a kingdom of priests. We're not beggars. We are children of God, bought by the blood of Jesus, escorted into the very presence of God Himself by our mediator, the Lord Jesus. He is our surety. I don't know whether you're dumbfounded or you don't believe me. I just don't know. But I promise you, brethren, I promise you, preacher brothers, I realize I'm treading on some sacred ground here. I realize that. And I don't want to dare take something that's not mine, but I can't help it. I cannot help what the Scripture says here. I cannot help what it teaches me. Oh, what a standing is mine in Christ. In Christ. Let us draw near with a courageous spirit. In chapter 4, what does he say? In chapter 4, he says this, having a great high priest, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Go in, beloved. Go in, child of God. Go in. Let me try one more tonight. And I'll save the rest of it for tomorrow. Let us enter. Let us draw near with a courageous spirit. Let us draw near. through a consecrated way. I look at it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Now, this is what the text says. You might want to buckle up for this. You ready? By a new and living way which He hath... Now, the King James is consecrated. Which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. You enter with a courageous spirit, but you enter through a consecrated way. Some of you will have a translation that will say something like this: through a way which He has inaugurated for us. Some translations have it this way: a way which He has dedicated for us. Boy, those are precious words. Dedicated for us. Inaugurated for us. This is amazing to me. The eternal Son of God needed no way into the holiest. He'd always been there. I was the one that needed the way. But I couldn't get there. I couldn't get there. And so what did Jesus do? He went on a rescue mission for me. He came. And through the veil, which He says was His flesh, through His humanity, through His work as our mediator, He came and He dedicated a way. He inaugurated a way for us. Not for Him. He belonged there. But He did it for us. I know. I preached to you back in chapter 9 that He offered Himself to God. And He did. But I'm going to tell you something. He offered Himself to God for us. For us. And He opened up the way into the Holy of Holies for us. What more proof do you need? He inaugurated the way. All right. Let's try another one. There's this big superhighway that's been built. Okay? And the day comes for the dedication of the thing. All right? And it's never been used. They got this yellow ribbon across. And they dedicate it. And somebody is brought to the ceremony. And let's say... Wow, this is a stretch. But let's say He's the provider of it. Okay? And they ask Him to cut the ribbon. And He says, I'm dedicating this way for all those that would travel. It's for your use. It's for you to use. You come this way. Now, I know that the Scripture says, narrow is the way. But don't miss the point I'm trying to make. It is a way of journeying that was inaugurated and dedicated. And beloved, listen. There is a way for us to journey into the very presence of God. And it was dedicated. Opened up for you. The
consecrated way, he says, is the veil. Do you see that in verse 20? By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil. Through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Do you see that? How do I go, Brother Mike? You go through the veil, which is Christ. Now, what's meant by that? Well, I'm going to try to close this thing up, okay? Think about it in a minute. That veil in the Old Testament was something that separated people from the Holy of Holies. Okay. But I'll tell you something else it was. It was the entrance into the Holy of Holies. Yeah. I know they had to pull it back so he could enter. But it was the way. It was the only way in there. I mean, if you were looking at the tabernacle from the outside and you had all those animal skins and they had those things tied down and staked down and people weren't, that wasn't the way into the Holy of Holies. There was one way. There was one way into that holy sanctuary. And it was through that veil. And now what does the writer of Hebrews tell us? There is one way. Thank God there's a way. There's a way into the very presence of God. And it's through the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through, I believe, brothers and sisters, listen. It is through His broken, sacrificed, spotless humanity as it was offered up as a propitiation for our sins. You know what He says about that way? He says it's a new and a living way. I won't develop all this. Y'all heard it before. It's a new way in that the idea is it's a freshly slain way. I think it means that the way of Christ is just as fresh and just as effectual as if He'd have died at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And it's living. It's living. It is the way of life. Now, I don't know who all's here tonight. Obviously, lots of people that I haven't yet met. But I wonder tonight if there's somebody here. You've heard a lot of gospel today. And in the last 2 days. And you're wondering, how do I get to this God that these preachers keep telling me about? It's through the veil. But preacher, you've been talking about that veil and how it separated people from the holiest of holies. Listen, that veil has been rent. Through His death. Through His work. Through His cross work. Through His atoning work, you can go in. If you try any other way, you'll perish. I think it's significant to remind you that Jesus said, and I know He was talking about a sheepfold, I understand that. But I think it's significant even here to remind you, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Modern day evangelism wants Him standing outside the door knocking. But He's the door. He's the door. By me if any man enter in. By me if any woman enter in. My lost friend, here is your way. And it is the only way. Well, I don't like that. then you'll not get to God. Approach any other way and you will perish. Let me remind you of this as I close. He said in verse 18 that for those that have received the full and final pardon of their sin, there remains no more offering for sin. But if you read just a few verses later, he says there's another group that has no more offering for sin. Who? Those who keep on sinning willfully after they've received the knowledge of the truth. For them, there is no more offering for sin. Why? Because they've rejected God's prescribed way of coming to Him. Are you trusting your merit tonight? Are you trusting your righteousness? Are you going to try to approach God some other way? Oh, that you might see. But there is a way to God, but it's through Christ. Father, I realize that our words are feeble. And our words, Lord, they fail to describe all the glory that You've given to Your people. Lord, our hearts at times are that we want to leap. We want to leap for joy at times. And yet, Lord, we also experience at times a wavering, a staggering. How can that be? Our hearts begin to ask, well, how can that glorious truth be that we can actually come into Your very presence? Into the presence of a holy God who will not even look upon sin. How? And yet it's been laid out for us clearly. We go through the work of another. We go through the blood of the Son of God. We go through a way that's been dedicated for us, consecrated for us. Would You please help Your people tonight to embrace what Your Word tells us? But Lord God, I'm also thinking about somebody here tonight who knows they need You. As our preacher told us a little while ago, they not because they just need to be made happy or to satisfy some fleshly longing they might have. But their soul is crying out to know the living God. And they're wondering, how can they know the living God? Lord, to them, help us to hold forth the gospel of Jesus Christ and say it is through the veil of His flesh. It is through His redeeming work. No sinner need fear being cast out who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Oh God, I pray that You'd help us to embrace who we are and what we are in Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.